Appointments are open, I'm group four. I don't have to stay here anymore. I'm sick of eating takeout on these plates. The time indoors has got me stressed, but I just checked on CVS. Finally, they're giving me some dates. I'll see actual real-life people. It'll be totally strange. I might even get to go see a game. Sports, you know. I could go to a bar with buddies. You're the best. I don't have to live in fear. Love you for the first time in forever. I won't be right here.
Guys, I'm really proud of you in quarantine. Kids, you've worked really hard. And honey, I think our relationship's gotten a lot tighter now that we've been in closer space. I gotta get on a plane now. Bye!
I'll sit in a seat that cramps my knees. And I won't care because at least I'm free. But then I'm going to an indoor play. I'll be that guy who shows the bar my brand new vaccination card, and then I'll shove some hooky in my face. Yeah, I know it'll take like 6 weeks.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tomorrow's News Tonight. I am your host, Chase Geyser, and I just wanted to give you a little bit of a taste of that video because that is the insanity that we just lived through. And I know that 5 years ago simultaneously seems like yesterday and a lifetime ago. But it's easy to forget how bad things were when we're always focused on how bad things are now and how troublesome things are now. I saw somebody post a poll today asking how they would rate Donald Trump on a scale of 1 to 10. And I responded and I thought, I'd probably give him a 7.5. But that's still astronomically better than any other president I can think of in the first 6 months. Yes, we know the Epstein thing was troublesome. More troublesome than the cover-up was the way that he treated his supporters and the American people. The way he talked about them as it pertains to. They're questioning, they're doubling down, they're pressuring of him on unraveling this or actually revealing the truth and being transparent. And yes, we can give him a hard time about bombing Iran. Turned out, it seems like it worked out because the ceasefire in the area seems to be holding up fairly well, despite the fact that Netanyahu has decided to launch another attack and postpone his trial longer by bombing Syria. Which, didn't we just install a new regime in Syria? But there's other things to celebrate, other things to cover, other than just the Epstein thing, because while this Epstein thing has been unfolding, we've seen that it's become a major distraction from all of the other major stories that are just hitting the ground and running. And I know artificial intelligence has been a major topic of conversation, but we are about ready to enter into a brave new world, a brave new world in which everyone, I think, should be terrified. Because I just saw this breaking news about an hour ago. Global hack on Microsoft product hits U.S. state agency researchers say. Apparently, there was a vulnerability where a major security flaw was exploited in this widely used Microsoft server software to launch a global attack on government agencies and businesses in the past few days, breaching U.S. federal and state agencies, universities, energy companies, and an Asian telecommunications company, according to state officials and private researchers. This is the type of stuff that artificial intelligence is going to make 10x, 100x, 1,000x more complicated and more difficult. So stay with us. We got more breaking news and analysis on the other side of this very short break. And make sure you go to the AlexJonesStore.com right now.
Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexshowstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexshowstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexshowstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexJonesStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
When evil conspires for tomorrow, we ride tonight. You're listening to Tomorrow's News Tonight with your host, Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tomorrow's News Tonight. I am your host, Chase Geyser. And we've got so much to cover. I mean, from Microsoft having a massive hack to all these developments, namely Tulsi Gabbard revealing new evidence. And I don't even want to call it evidence because it's such an abused word. It's like a whipped dog. We see the left constantly say, there's no evidence of, there's no evidence of, there's no evidence of, there's no evidence of. When there can be evidence of something and it's still not proven or not even true. And they act like there must be no evidence whenever they want to shut something down instead of attacking the argument directly. And the other way around works as well. We have new evidence that the Obama administration engaged in a manufactured hoax in conspiracy with the intelligence community to accuse Donald Trump and many of his supporters of being Russian agents, of colluding with Russia. We have new evidence. No, we don't have evidence, folks. We had evidence just circumstantially years ago, the first time that this story came up. We don't have new evidence. We have proof that the Obama administration, in conjunction with the intelligence communities, engaged in treasonous conspiracy against a duly lawfully elected president of the United States of America. And I am telling you right now that if Donald Trump had done to anyone else what the Obama administration did to him and what the Biden administration then did to us, I would be deriding him as much as you could possibly imagine. And you know by now, after the last 2 weeks of seeing our coverage, you know by now that we don't just support Trump because we're shills for Trump. We don't just sell out because it's in our interest to back up Donald Trump. We were the first to aggressively, without testing the water, come out and say, what the hell is going on with this Epstein news? When Trump came out and there was that joint statement between the Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Investigation stating that Epstein actually did in fact kill himself and that there was no evidence of a client list and that no further investigations would be done, not only on Epstein, but on other third parties. We were the first. So you can trust me when I say to you now that if Trump had done what the Obama administration did to him, I would be critical as hell. I mean, this is brazenly anti-Republic. I don't even want to use the word anti-democratic because the Democrats, another word they've destroyed, have given democracy a bad name. In fact, maybe democracy gave itself a bad name because after all, it is the leading cause of tyranny. And there's a reason that the word is not mentioned once in the United States Constitution. It's something certainly to be afraid of because the mob can violate your rights just as quickly as a tyrant by voting them away. It's why our rights are delineated. But I want to show you this clip 30. This is Tucker Carlson. Because it lines up with what our fundamental problem is in the United States of America. Our fundamental problem is that we don't have elected leaders anymore. We're not even a republic with democratic processes or elections anymore. Not necessarily because the elections are stolen, though sometimes they are. But we're not a democracy anymore because as soon as our leaders are elected, they are immediately blackmailed or bribed or deceived into totally disregarding the wants, needs, and interests of their own people. And here's why.
Members of Congress are terrified of the intel agencies. I'm not guessing at that. They've told me that.
including people on the Intel Committee, including people who run the Intel Committee, the people whose job it is to oversee and keep in line these enormous secretive agencies whose budgets we can't even know. They're black budgets. They're the parents. The agencies are the children. They're afraid of the agencies. That's not compatible with democracy. Democracy is a really simple system, even representative democracy like ours. The people rule. They do so through elections. They express their preference through voting. They send their people to the capital city to run the government on their behalf. Whenever you have unelected people who are not accountable to anyone making the biggest decisions, you don't have a democracy. You have something else, another system. I would call it a tyranny or whatever you want to call it. It's not a democracy. So that's like super obvious. It's playing out in front of everyone and no one cares and no one does anything about it. And I think the reason is because they're threatened. And if you look at the committee chairmen who allow this shit to happen year after year, they're all, and I don't know, people say, oh, they're compromised or being blackmailed or whatever. I don't have evidence of that, but I know them and they all have things to hide. I know that for a fact. And so it's not a stretch of imagination to imagine that, you know, some committee chairman who's allowing warrantless spying on Americans to continue or whatever abuse they're allowing, knowing fully or hiding the truth about UAPs, ignoring the UAP Disclosure Act of 2023, like, why are they doing that? It's not impossible to imagine that some guy with a drinking problem or a weird sex life, and that's very common up there, that's why they're doing it. Because they don't want to be exposed. I don't have evidence of that. I don't have proof of that.
Right.
But that's not a crazy thing to assume that that could be happening. And I said to somebody, a very powerful person, the other day in a conversation in my kitchen, an elected official, holds a really senior position, a very famous person. I was going crazy. I was so mad about all this stuff and about the warrantless spying and about the funding for these insane wars. And I said to the guy who serves in one of the legislative bodies, like, I was so mad my dogs were afraid. They're like, well, why are you yelling? Because I don't yell at home. But I was like, all these people are controlled. They're all, you know, got weird sex lives and all these things are hiding and they're being blackmailed by the intel agencies. And he said, and I'm quoting, I know. I was like, so at this point we're just sort of admitting that's real? Like, why do we allow that to continue?
The first president of the United States who attempted to actually control the CIA or the intelligence community in any certain way. Any specific way. What happened to him was he got his head blown off while he sat next to his wife in a convertible driving through Dallas, Texas. And don't get me wrong, I'm actually happy for John F. Kennedy. What a way to go. I mean, if I could choose any way to die, don't get any ideas, but if I could choose any way to die, getting my head blown off in my prime, sitting next to a beautiful woman on a beautiful day in a convertible while a crowd runs out to greet me because I've been so politically honest and heroic in many ways. I mean, look, folks, at this point in time, everything is so screwed up and corrupt and dilapidated and degraded and hedonistic and just utterly fallen that if you don't get assassinated or persecuted for your political beliefs, you're probably not trying hard enough. Charles Bukowski is one of my favorite poets. On his gravestone, it says, don't try. And it's funny. He was charming. He was like that. He made being black-pilled kind of nice. But no. You have to try because at the moment of your death, regardless of whether you believe in the afterlife or not, your brain is flooded with DMT, which sits dormant for your entire life. And if you die weighed down by an abundantly littered, soiled, and dirtied conscience, you will experience such a distortion of time-space reality that it will feel like an eternity of hell, even though for everyone else in the universe, it might have only been a few minutes. So it's not even a selfless or altruistic thing to do the right thing. I mean, do it for your own sake. You think a lifetime of being 70, 80, 90 years old is a long time? I just went to a funeral last week for my wife's grandfather. He was 95 years old. Very good man. If you think that's a long time, just wait till you experience what 3 minutes saturated in DMT at the moment of your death feels like if you die with a bad conscience. Feeling guilty about all the terrible things you did or all the good things that you failed to do. I mean, that's my main incentive for being here in the InfoWars. I mean, I do have a love for humanity and my country, and I have principles, and I like sharing my opinion in a world where it feels like our voices aren't heard whatsoever. There are things that I love about this job other than the selfish incentive, but the main motive, the main incentive for me to be here and for you, frankly, to be supporting this network at thealexjonesstore.com is so that at the moment of your death, you can say I did my best instead of I should have done more. But finally, we have an administration that has the balls to at least in some sense come out and hold these institutions accountable. And I know they've never been held accountable in a meaningful way in the past. And I know that investigations are not the same thing as prosecutions, and indictments aren't the same thing as executions. But we're taking a step in the right direction with these investigations on the Comeys and the Brennans and the Clappers and the Obamas, who Tulsi Gabbard herself, Director of the Department of National Intelligence, has called what she's seen in this evidence treasonous conspiracy. I mean, those are big, big, big words. Former Democrat from Honolulu? This whole administration's been littered with former Democrats. Once they see what the abyss looks like, they make a decision to change their lives. But I'm going to show you clip 48 here. I say these words very clearly. DNI Tulsi Gabbard speaks out on Obama and deep state's years-long coup against President Trump. She says she's got more coming out in the coming days. Let's watch.
And I understand that there is more, perhaps, that you are going to come out with next week. And I was told that that's why they raided Mar-a-Lago, that they wanted to find the Trump-Russia documents that indicated there was absolutely no collusion and that there was no evidence to even start such an investigation. But Trump didn't have it there in Mar-a-Lago, but that's why they raided his house in 2022. Is that correct?
I don't have the details on the specifics of the Mar-a-Lago raid itself. Those are within the possession of the FBI. But there's no question in my mind that this intelligence community assessment that President Obama ordered be published, which contained a manufactured intelligence document. It's worse than even politicization of intelligence. It was manufactured intelligence that sought to achieve President Obama and his team's objective, which was undermining President Trump's presidency and subverting the will of the American people. So yes, next week we will be releasing more detailed information about how exactly this took place and the extent to which this information was sought to be hidden from the American people, hidden from officials who would be in a position to do something about it. And that's really the point here that I think is most important, Maria, and you said it in your opening. Accountability is essential for the future of our country, for the American people to have any sense of trust in the integrity of our democratic republic. Accountability, action, prosecution, indictments for those who are responsible for trying to steal our democracy is essential for us to make sure that this never happens to our country again.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. I don't advocate for violence. I don't believe in breaking the law. I don't believe in murder. But one way or the other, and I emphasize that, one way or another, because of this level of corruption, people are going to wind up against the wall. And it's ugly. But what terrifies me the most is the fact that all of this is culminating and brewing and coagulating like a bad clot in your brain. In this one specific moment in time where both the civilian class and the establishment class, the political class, are about ready to have unprecedented power with AI. I want to show you clip one here. Here's Musk talking about what it's like for him, speaking of AI, to be so hated. Let's watch.
If evil people hate you, well, you might be doing something right.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Much appreciated. Very good to talk to you. It was a real privilege.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Good.
And it's the same reason that I voted for Trump. I didn't even vote for Trump because I necessarily agree with everything that he was saying. I did support 95% of what he said, support probably 75-80% of what he's done. I voted for him because all the world's supervillains hate him. I work for Alex Jones because all of the world's supervillains hate him. I work for InfoWars because all the world's supervillains are trying to shut it down. So if you don't know what's good, you almost certainly know what's evil. And then just go the other way. In fact, don't go the other way. Just run right into the storm. Run right through it. Attack head on. Because good is stronger than evil. And if good is stronger than evil, then it would be at our advantage to attack the enemy head on. But we're coming up on this artificial intelligence thing. I got to show you clip 7. It's not so much that AI is going to control us so much as it is that we are going to decide to totally merge with it. This isn't exactly the same thing as artificial intelligence here in clip 7, but I want to show you this because, folks, it's about to get real. We're in a real AI arms race with China. Watch this. This is a man who's a construction worker in China, working from home, operating construction equipment. He's got 3 panels set up. Doesn't even have to go in. This is the future, folks. We are going to be working in our little pods, jacked into the Matrix, and hopefully the pods don't end up looking too much like the Matrix, where we're just surrounded by liquid and satiated while we live in some dream world. But Zuckerberg comes out this week in clip 17, comes out this week and says that in the future, everybody's going to want to be using artificial intelligence smart glasses. Google tried to do this with Google Glass 10 or 15 years ago. It's closer to 15 years ago now. And it didn't take off because the technology sucked. But we are going to start seeing people totally immersed, totally integrated. I know people have been pushing back against social media and the algorithms and tech and here's how you should raise your kids. But just because people know that it's wrong and it's bad for you doesn't mean they're going to stop doing it. And as the technology gets better, especially if it gets better at a faster rate than it's apparent that it's harmful to the general public, it's going to get adopted and we're just going to get all absorbed and just wrapped totally into it. Here's clip 17.
I think the products that we're going to build are going to be pretty different, and I think are just going to touch billions of people's lives. I think we're kind of the premier company at developing products and scaling them to billions of people. And we're, of course, leading in the next generation of computing platforms with the glasses that are doing exceptionally well. And I continue to think that that's going to be the best form factor for AI because, you know, they can see what you see and hear what you hear and you can talk to them throughout the day. And, you know, once we get a display and the holograms in there, it'll be able to generate a UI for you. So I think that that's going to be, there's just going to be this incredible connection between those things.
Picturing my Meta super intelligence glasses companion friend doing things for me. I don't know. Am I on the right track?
Yeah. I mean, I think we're going to reach a point where, you know, you're going through the world and you're having conversations. One thought experiment that I like to do is in almost every conversation that I have, there's like 5 things I want to follow up on. But I almost don't ever follow up on all 5, right? Just because I go do something else. Maybe I'll follow up on 1 if I'm lucky. And, you know, I just think like, okay, in the future, we're going to have glasses and they're going to be able to, if you want, you know, observe what's going on in your life and be able to go follow up on things for you and either, you know, follow up with you later or give you information in real time in the glasses. And it's almost going to be like, look, if you need vision correction and you don't have glasses, just optical glasses, you're sort of at this cognitive disadvantage. And I think in the future, if you don't have AI glasses, you're basically going to be at a cognitive disadvantage too. So yeah, I mean, that's part of what we're going to do, but we're also very focused on the entertainment, the culture, the kind of personal relationships with people. I think that like having an AI that can help you with that is going to be super valuable. So anyway, there's a ton to do. There's no shortage.
It's like the mysterious man that always shows up to help you and you find out at the end of the story that it's been the devil the whole time. And look, I'm trying to convey a nuanced perspective on this technology. First of all, the debate, I don't know, just 5 years ago was on whether or not we should have artificial intelligence at all. Should we do it or shouldn't we do it? That debate is totally moot. Totally irrelevant because it's coming. It's inevitable. Nobody's going to stop it. Now it's not just a corporate thing. It's not just a will of the people thing. It's a matter of national security. So it's coming. So now the question is, all right, well, what do we do about the fact that it's coming? There's an asteroid on the way to the Earth. It's going to hit the Earth in 5 years. What do we do over the course of the next 5 years now that we know it's definitely coming? Because we certainly can't debate on whether or not we should let it get here. It's already on the way. And it's going to come out just like every other technology comes out, just like the internet and social media came out and search engines came out and everybody just handed over all of their data to the Googles and these corporations that are basically just cutouts of the intelligence community by all intent. And they did that over the last 20 years because it was so new and novel and fun and wow, I can upload my own videos to the internet for everyone to see. Before, if I wanted somebody to see a video, I had to rent out a theater or make a movie that was famous enough backed by a major studio. Now I can just put them on the internet. Okay, Google. Okay, YouTube. Take all my data. Oh, wow. I can show pictures of me and my slutty friends at the beach on Instagram and be a thirst trap for all these boys. Okay, Instagram. Take all of my data. And just suck everybody in to the trap of the algorithm. But now this artificial intelligence is going to have this data. And it's not just going to have this data, but it's going to allow our intelligence community to weaponize the data in a way that is totally unprecedented. Because the government has always had all the information about us, certainly the last 30 years. They've just had no way whatsoever of using that information at maximum efficiency. It's like finding a needle in a haystack. We have all the cell data. We have all the text data. We have all the email data. But how are we supposed to find what everybody's saying? Well, now with artificial intelligence, you have what's called informatics, the mining of information to get what you're looking for in all the data. It's like famous stock traders who they look through all of the stock data and the charts and the news reports, and they analyze based on all of the data and the reports what the meaningful information is in order to make a bet on what to invest in next. It's like Michael Burry from The Big Short just pouring through the data on the subprime mortgage bonds. That's what our intelligence community has had to do for the last 30, 40, 50 years. Manually go through the data. Not anymore. Not with this artificial intelligence, which now I guess Mark Zuckerberg wants you to see the entire world through literally. And not just that, but then Facebook and Instagram and these other companies are going to know exactly what the world looks like through your eyes. And if they have that data showing on the screen to you, you know, like first thing they're going to do is put a camera on that bad boy. Not one that can take a picture of you. These glasses are going to be right in your face, but a camera that looks at the world in front of you. So you can catch Pokemon, right? Or so the government can see exactly what you're looking at any given time. And after we get these massive escalations in our ability to generate energy in this country, whether it's nuclear, whether it's space-based solar power, or some other trans-dimensional, interdimensional method through quantum mechanics, they're going to be able to store everything you've ever seen if you're wearing these glasses, and then use artificial intelligence to comb through every frame of every moment in every person's life. And this all comes at the pinnacle of the information war. So I tell you what, folks, if there was ever a war to fund, it's the info war. And if there was ever a time to do it, it's now. If not us, then who? If not now, then when? And we have this deal that's amazing at the AlexJonesStore.com. So the last day you can get 25% off store-wide. All the supplements, totally incredible. For your mind, for your body, for your country, for your God, for your species. So please, for the love of God, for the love of humanity, go to the AlexJonesStore.com right now. I personally recommend that you check out the methylene blue because it will light you up like a Christmas tree. And hey, everybody loves a little Christmas in July.
I need support. We are maxed out, and I can do so much more in offense, guaranteed beat them even faster in court. And got this other stuff going on. I'll leave it at that with the Justice Department, the good guys coming in, and the task force on weaponization, that I need funds. So I need you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, subscribe as your monthly donation for $30 a month as a VIP, and know you're doing that bare minimum of support, cancel any time. Not a very hard commitment. You just do it month to month. You charge $30, you're a VIP, and when you want a t-shirt or you want a supplement, you get, because it'll just build up in your account, $40 to spend in the store. You spend 30, you get 40 automatic discounts on everything, special sales, special offers. I'm asking everyone to commit who's never supported the broadcast by buying anything to become a VIP today at thealexjonesstore.com. And then you know you're doing the monthly support. Ever have an issue? Don't want to do it? Cancel. One click. It's your profile. But by being a VIP, you get massive discounts, special offers, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. And it's a way to show your support. We need your backing. I am 100% dauntless. If anything, I get overheated because I've got so much energy and I'm so angry at these people and it bleeds off into my life. I need your backing. I'm backing you. Quite frankly, if you don't back me and my crew, what we're doing, you're nuts. And I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying you're crazy. Evil hates this transmission. We've got their number. And if you don't back the organizations fighting with everything they've got for you, because we're all in this together, well, you've rolled over. You've run up the line flag, quite frankly. And that's what this is. People ask, man, thanks for fighting. Thanks for never giving up. Wow, why does it break your spirit? It intensifies my spirit. To know we're up against pure evil and we're turning the tide and we're winning. And then to know that if we don't fight hard, they're going to win and commit humanity to a nightmare of evil. You think stuff's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. Thank me for fighting for my own future and yours collectively. There's not even a question of fighting these people. Look at them. They've got to be opposed. People tend to think being persecuted is, oh, you want to stay away from that? Oh, so you want to stay away from the fight? No, it's like John Paul Jones said when he got commissioned as the head of the U.S. Navy, right when it was starting, and he was writing to the Continental Congress. He said, I only want the fastest ships. I only want to be sent into the main war zones in direct action. They said, here, it's our fastest ship. Go out. He immediately goes out and engages and takes over all these British ships 2-3 times the size. It's ramming straight into them. Well, that's what I want to do. I only want the fastest ships. I want to go directly into action. I want to go 24 hours a day. I want reporters all over the country. I want to be 50 times stronger against the enemy. I want 50 times the audience. I want victory. You think what we've done to the enemy's been effective so far? It's nothing. I have not yet begun to fight. So support yourself. Support us. Do it. Or be conscious that you didn't fight when the time was right. You hesitated. You took this as another entertainment venue, to some other show, just more talk. This ain't talk. This is the targeting coordinates to take down the enemy. This is the Death Star plans. This is Sting, the Goblin Slayer. They hate this blade. This operation is a sword that is plunged politically, culturally, spiritually into the hearts of our enemies over and over and over again. They hate it. It's a standard of their defeat. It's a symbol of their weakness. That's what we're doing here. This is serious business. So I'm coming to you, asking you to continue to commission us in this fight. We've already delivered you more victories against the enemy than any other media operation in the world. And I'm asking you again, for all of our collective futures, to come to our aid now more and take your fight to the 110% level. Tell the truth. Be accurate. Stand against evil. Have courage. Until it's not even having courage, it's what you are.
Exposing tomorrow's tyranny tonight. It's Chase Geyser.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, as we approach the artificial intelligence takeover, amidst this news from DNI Tulsi Gabbard, and we know she's not a sellout, because if she was a sellout, I'm sure that the Democrats offered her a sweet deal. And she was running for the President of the United States as a Democrat. Just back out. Just admit you were wrong. Just step down. Just stand aside. She could have just lived the rest of her life as a Democrat and sold out just like the rest of them. But she didn't. So we know that she's not selling out to Trump. She's not coming out with this information because she's just trying to kiss Trump on the hiney. She's coming out with this information because it's proof of massive corruption, where in basically any other country that I can think of, people would be executed. They'd be charged with treason. They'd be given a jury of their other peers. They'd be found guilty, and they'd be hanged, hanged, hanged. And look, I know I'm a little bitter about James Comey, because after all, he's been spying on my place of work since December 10th of 2013. Within 90 days of his appointment by Barack Obama, who is one of the most evil people ever to have walked on the face of the earth. In fact, he's so evil that most people don't even realize it, and people often look fondly back on the time that he was in office. I think he did just an outstanding job because he was so normal and calm and responsible. But the only reason his administration had any success whatsoever is because it came right on the back of rock bottom at the crash of the housing market, so anything would have been better for the next 4 years, 8 years. But Trump nailed it, and he's still actually nailing it as president of the United States. In fact, I like the big, beautiful bill. I don't like the spending. I don't like raising the debt ceiling, but I know why, for political reasons, for political strategy, it had to be done. You pass it now, you raise the ceiling, that way you never have to negotiate with Democrats again on any of the issues. It basically contained everything that he wanted to do over the course of the next 4 years, all in one piece of legislation, which is why it was so expensive, so massive, so controversial. But here he is. Remember, clip 13. Here Trump is telling us about the Russia hoax when everyone acted like, oh, he's just saying that because he's unhappy with the way that he's been treated by the media. And he's just bitter because he's not having political success anymore. Let's watch.
Jim walk out of a store and he's walking with an ice cream. And the question the media asked him, what kind of ice cream? What flavor ice cream do you have? And he's in the midst of a scandal.
He's not.
And he's taking...
He's
of course
not.
He is,
no.
Leslie.
Come on.
Of course he is. It's the biggest, second biggest scandal.
So
the biggest scandal was when they spied on my campaign. They spied on my campaign,
there's
Leslie.
There's no real evidence of that.
Of course there is.
No.
It's all over the place. Leslie,
sir,
they spied on my campaign and they got caught.
Can I say something? You know, this is 60 Minutes. And we can't put on things we can't verify.
You won't put it on because it's bad for Biden.
We can't put on things we can't verify.
Leslie, they spied on my campaign.
Well, we can't verify that.
It's been totally verified.
No.
It's been, just go down and get the papers. They spied on my campaign. They got caught.
No.
And then they went much further than that, and they got caught. And you will see that, Leslie. And you know that, but you just don't want to put it on the air.
They spied on his campaign, and they got caught. They spied on InfoWars, and they got caught. They spied on Alex Jones, and they got caught. Dan Bongino was coming out with this years ago, talking about the list of influencers, even naming on the list. In fact, we should find that clip for tomorrow's show of Dan Bongino when he had a podcast and before he had to work for the FBI and enter into that hellhole. Listing dozens, if not hundreds, of right-wing influencers, prominent conservatives who are being spied on, looked at, looked into, investigated as part of a human intelligence operation by the intelligence community, the deep state. And look, the FBI, I know it's supposed to be a law enforcement agency. It is just an intelligence agency at this point. It became an intelligence agency probably really under Obama, but certainly after 9/11. It switched from federal law enforcement to domestic CIA intelligence. It's the Federal Bureau of Intelligence instead of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We have the Central Intelligence Agency, which is supposed to only do things abroad, spy on people abroad. Edward Snowden proved to us that that wasn't the case. Well, the FBI handles all the dirty work of the domestic stuff. They won't do any real investigations whatsoever, find any real missing children whatsoever, catch any real child predators whatsoever, but they will engage in everything that the CIA engages in, and they'll just do it on the American people. It's the Federal Bureau of Intelligence. In fact, they're running a human intelligence operation on InfoWars right now as we speak, a Type 3 assessment, which we have been in since December 10th of 2013. We know it. We've seen the documents. We FOIA'd it. They let it slip because we're right white-wing extremists. This is Comey, the same people being same person being investigated by the FBI right now for treasonous conspiracy, by the way. So I'm no friend of these people. They have committed crime upon crime upon crime against the American people and our leaders, especially the ones that we support who are outsiders. But here's Schiff in clip 18. I just got to show you this again. Remember, he took the ball and he ran. It turns out he's getting himself in some hot water, too. Let's watch.
In which The Russians offered help, which we know they did. The campaign accepted help, which we know they did. The Russians then delivered help, which we know they did.
There is circumstantial evidence of collusion. The case is more than that, and I can't go into the particulars, but there is more than circumstantial evidence now, so.
You've said on more than one occasion that you've seen ample evidence of the Trump campaign's Russia collusion. Last March, you said you had more than circumstantial evidence of treasonous collusion with Russia.
I certainly said that there's ample evidence of collusion.
Can you agree that there has been no evidence of collusion, coordination, or conspiracy that has been presented thus far between the Trump campaign and Russia?
No, I don't agree with that at all. I think there's plenty of evidence of collusion or conspiracy.
But we do know this. The Russians offered help. The campaign accepted help. The Russians gave help, and the president made full use of that help. And that is pretty damning.
Reviewing the evidence that I have.
And Schiff is just one example. I mean, somebody took the time, the painful time, to go through all of his appearances, find these instances of him lying and lying and lying on all these mainstream media platforms. And the truth is, the mainstream media platforms are just as culpable, just as accountable, just as responsible as the other members of the political class who engaged in this lie, knowing that it was a lie, because that's exactly what the mainstream media does. Is it because these corporations are corrupt and they just want to get the big story? How are the ratings? We'll do anything for ratings. No, we know that's not true because they haven't done squat. I mean, all of their graphics, all of their production, all of their talking points are exactly the same for the last 20 years. And what other industry do you know of that can be doing the exact same things in the exact same way for the last 20 years and still be successful? Virtually none of them whatsoever. Well, this one can, this industry can, because these people are propped up by the CIA. They are cutouts of the CIA. In fact, all of these mainstream media outlets. Exist and operate for the sole purpose of not even deceiving the American people. In terms of trying to convince them of something that isn't true. But it's more sinister than that. It's trying to convince the American people that everyone else believes something that isn't true. So even if you know, as an average American, that the Russia collusion thing just doesn't seem to add up, even if you know, as an American citizen, when you see it on the news, that wearing a mask and standing 6 feet apart is unnecessary if either wearing a mask or standing 6 feet apart works, the mainstream media will still have you convinced, have you believing that, well, even though you know that or you believe that, everyone else believes this. So you better keep your mouth shut if you want to be isolated from everyone you know and love. Lose your job, have members of your family disown you. Things of that nature. So now it's not even about getting people to believe the lie. It's just getting people to believe that everyone else believes the lie. And I'm convinced now that their only real audience, especially Fox News, is Donald Trump. Love Donald Trump, but he's got to get off this Fox bandwagon. It's stupid. In fact, I think Donald Trump is probably the only person, literally the only person in the whole world that watches Mark Levin. And that's fine. See, for the CIA, for the deep state, for the intelligence apparatus, it's worth it to pay a Mark Levin however much he's paid. It's worth it to pay others at Fox News $10, $20, $30, $40, $50 million to be on air. Because, after all, Fox News, mainstream media outlet, that's how the intelligence community communicates directly to the President of the United States. Say one thing in the briefing with him, make him happy. Then you just push him in another direction by airing what message you want him to hear on Fox News. But despite all the brainwashing that's been going on as it pertains to this private political press, there are astounding things that are being accomplished by this administration. They have stopped the bleeding at the border. They failed to find more than 10,000 of the kids, which I'm disappointed in. They failed to find a large number of the sex predators, the child abusers, which I'm disappointed. But this administration is going to put America in a position where it can still dominate in the 21st century. My only concern is, are we morally ready to have unlimited power? This is clip 14 of Trump renewing his commitment to
blocking or banning central bank digital currencies in the United States.
I also remain fully committed to my pledge never to allow the creation of a central bank digital currency in America. It won't happen. My first... Thank you. And the other night, I will say, with some of the congressmen and women, they wanted that so badly. That was so important to them. I was impressed that they knew what the hell it was, to be honest with you. Please, sir, please, the central bank digital currency, well, you have to make sure, sir. And I'm saying, what do you know about that? It's amazing the knowledge that people have gained all of a sudden. We have a lot of problems with some of them. I said, we've already got it from the Fed, right, from Commerce, and from an executive order. You don't need it a fourth time. Sir, we have to get it. It's amazing. But they knew their subject, though, didn't they, huh? And we helped them out. My first week in office, I signed an executive order to ban the creation of a CBDC in the United States. And very soon, I look forward to signing legislation.
Hey, look,
if
you don't like the intelligence community knowing absolutely everything about you, just wait till it has the power to control all of your finances, which Trump is trying to block here. Then you have to block it four different ways. Otherwise, the intelligence community will just keep breaking the law. Many people don't realize that all of the regulations, as I understand, all the rules or all of the powers that were given to the federal government in the Patriot Act, they're all expired now. Do you think that the federal government, as soon as the expiration was up, threw that peanut butter in the trash? No, they're still doing the same exact thing. In fact, here's that Bongino list from years ago of him talking about how conservative influencers have been put on lists to be spied on and harassed. Let's watch.
Folks, I've never shown you this before. And I debated showing it to you now. My list is more than 26 names. I'm obviously not going to tell you who I got this from, but the list of people to bump and target with, you know, Russian interaction and spying. Put it on the screen. I've never shown you this before. This is from my source. Ted Cruz. Donald Trump, Ben Carson. Some of the names are not spelled right. It's for a reason I can't describe. I'll maybe go into it a different time. Don Trump Jr., Eric, Ivanka, Lara Trump, Melania, Jared Kushner, Jason Miller, Dave Bossi, Sam Clovis, Paul Manafort, Jason Johnson, Carter Page, Papadopoulos, Alice Stewart, Victoria Coates, Christopher Bourne, Jason Osborne, Chris Christie, Don McGahn, Michael Cohen, spell wrong, Michael Flynn, Alexander Jones, Jeff Sessions, Rudy Giuliani, Roger Stone.
You know why they spell those names wrong. So when somebody submits a FOIA request for information about Alex Jones, nothing comes up in the search results because they have him in as Alexander. So the more sensitive ones, they just put that in as a little piece of shrapnel to keep you from getting the information in a FOIA. But I got it in the FOIA. And it's not just the FBI putting InfoWars or others on lists or the intelligence community putting all those names on lists so they can spy on them and just track them and keep track of what's going on. We know that the left just loves watching the show. It's so good to see you guys out there. This network, every minute of it, taking notes. In fact, I am willing to bet that hundreds of intelligence assets have gone in as deep state zombies, been assigned the task of watching InfoWars for the sake of gathering evidence, and within 2 weeks, been totally won over by the amazing enlightenment you get on this network, and they quit. I bet you the turnover in the Alex Jones department at the FBI is so high because they can't get anybody to surveil us without falling in love. That's how good InfoWars is. But remember the Ukraine list, right? So the FBI, using your tax dollars, will put you and other influencers, for lack of a better term, on a list. And then they'll pay organizations in foreign countries like Ukraine to gather lists, put together enemies of the state lists. And I, and Alex Jones, and Jamie White, and countless others, not countless, there's an exact number, it's between 200 and 300, I believe, were put on an enemies of the state list in Ukraine. You remember that? Last year. Right after our government funded tens of billions of dollars to neo-Nazis in Ukraine on Hitler's birthday.
as they waved the Ukrainian flag in the halls of our sacred institutions, claiming that January 6th was an invasion, an insurrection, when they don't even have the right flag flying or on their lapel. An invasion of what? An invasion of Ukraine? Or an invasion of Israel? Or an invasion of NATO? Because that's the only country being represented in those halls. But they put us on this list, and we all know what happened in the months that followed. The swattings. Look, I love Dan Bongino. He's a tough guy. But it troubled me to see him in that clip a few weeks ago after he and Kash Patel came out, said Epstein killed himself, said his wife was having a hard time. Well, Dan, have you ever had your house raided by a SWAT team at 1 a.m.? As men with rifles, who've just been aiming them at you as you walk backwards in front of your house, shine flashlights on your sleeping children. Because that's the kind of experience that Americans have who speak out against the institution you seem to be working in aiding. And there's something very interesting at the beginning of that last Bongino clip. In fact, Derek, please play that Bongino clip again. I want you to pay very close attention to what he says in the first 5 seconds. Watch.
Folks, I've never shown you this before. And I debated showing it to you now.
I've never shown you this before, and I debated showing you this now. So this is someone who debated whether or not he should show a list of American political influencers who are being spied on. That proves to us that Dan Bongino is someone who considers whether or not he should keep secrets on behalf of the deep state. I'm not saying that he's a bad guy, but I'm saying if he struggled with whether or not he should discuss a large list of conservatives who are being spied on by the FBI, don't you think maybe he would be inclined to cover up the fact that Epstein's in witness protection? If he's convinced that it's a matter of national security? Don't you think maybe he would look as uncomfortable as he looked making those statements with Kash Patel that Epstein killed himself? Like a dog on a leash being dragged into the vet. We know from that first clip years ago that he's incredibly sensitive about whether or not to reveal truths that he knows. Imagine the kind of pressure they're putting on him now. If there was no pressure put on him over that, I mean, that is vanilla right there. Vanilla, if I have ever seen vanilla. And folks, I don't even know where to go next. Why don't we cover the fact that Zoran Mondami is coming out? Good morning. I'm in Uganda to visit family and friends. Let's show clip 26, and we're going to unpack this. I'm going to get into some other good stuff, too. This is going to be a riot, this show. Watch.
Being a politician means listening, not just to your supporters, but your critics, too. And some of these critics, especially on a certain website, have been giving me consistent advice. For example, at SamWhite087, Zoran, go back to Uganda, where you come from and belong. At TeflonGone, loser, go back to Africa. There are thousands like this from across the country. I hear you. And I agree. I'm going back to Uganda. I'm headed there in a personal capacity to celebrate Rama and I's marriage with our family and friends. But I do want to apologize to the haters, because I will be coming back. And since you will undoubtedly read about this trip in the New York Post, inshallah on the front page, here are a few of my humble suggestions for headlines. MIA.
The most offensive thing about this video is that he's saying that we're undoubtedly going to hear about it in the New York Post. Nobody reads the New York Post. You're undoubtedly going to hear about this on Fox News or CNN. Nobody watches those. It's just, again, it's a part of the psychological operation. What is he doing sitting in that coffee shop? Oh, I'm just like you. You get coffee. I get coffee, too. It's like Tim Walz changing the filter in his truck. Tim Walz pretending to know what it's like to shoot a shotgun. The only thing he knows how to do is leak information to the CCP like he did in the 90s. FBI investigation on that, any accountability? No. Why don't we make him impossibly close to becoming the vice president of the United States instead? You're going to leak fake information about Donald Trump being in collusion with Russia in order to prevent him from having any political power, but they won't leak the true information about Tim Walz leaking military secrets to the CCP since the 90s to prevent him from getting the election. I mean, this is abominably terrible. Here's clip 36. We got another one.
Hello, everyone. Senator Omar Fateh here, candidate for mayor of Minneapolis. We are here at the Target Center today for the DFL endorsement for the Board of Estimate and Taxation, park boards, as well as the mayoral race. Really excited. We're talking to a lot of great delegates today about why we're running. Excited to talk about our vision for a city that actually provides meaningful public safety for everybody, no longer polluting our underrepresented communities, making sure everyone has access to clean air and clean water, fully supporting our public schools, and making sure everyone has a safe and stable housing. I'm really honored to be here today, and I'm hoping to earn your trust and your support. And myself, hopefully becoming a first-time father in a few weeks, I want to have a city that I can raise my son in and that all of us can raise our families in. So hope to earn your
Omar Fateh has officially secured Democratic support for mayor of Minneapolis, folks. And does it remind you anything of this? Let's watch.
Look at me.
Sure.
Look at me.
Sure.
I'm the captain now.
What has this country come to, folks? Not only are they trying to steal the country, not only are they trying to conglomerate all political power into one political globalist elite and then subjugate the rest of humanity after a massive depopulation campaign to weed out those who take from the political class and ensure that they have a solid base paying in via central bank digital currencies to their globalist system, which keeps everyone safely and securely under their boot in the name of safety and security. But now they have taken it and escalated it to the next phase, the next stage. You want to talk about phase one, phase two, phase three. Let's get off the Epstein thing. This is phase 66 of the information war, where they're trying to hijack your mind. And they're not just trying to hijack your mind. They're trying to hijack the minds of your children. And every once in a while, they test out how much progress that they're making. They want to see if their operations are really having results. And so they do things like find out how many people who have been brainwashed in the various algorithms will support or oppose sterilizing any children who show any signs of gender dysphoria whatsoever. And they can get a pretty good gauge of whether or not their psychological operations are doing well based on the number of people willing to cut off their own children's genitalia in response to these algorithms which have manipulated them. And now it's going to the next phase, because it's not just algorithms manipulating groups in a somewhat efficient way. Now it's going to be artificial intelligence manipulating individuals in a nearly 100% efficient way. Listen to me. With artificial intelligence, everybody in America is going to be in their own personal cult with an AI cult leader designed specifically for them. Go to the alexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air. Help us fight to prepare humanity for an unprecedented moment in the information war. Special sale ends tonight, 25% off store wide.
So we had Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers, former J6 political prisoner, constitutional lawyer, so much more on paratrooper. And he wanted to try methylene blue like so many other guests have done live on air. I got so busy with all the Iran war stuff and the commies rioting. So you ever get him to take it on air? All the guests, dozens of them have taken it within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great to fog lifting to just over the top crying and feel so good. Especially the first time you take it. Electrochemical in the mitochondria, cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest ultramethylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended and I forgot to do this. He's like, hey, are we doing methylene blue? So he's going to take it now. But guys, don't forget when he's on Owen. So maybe he forgets before he's going to go off to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. I've had like out of 300 plus people we've given it to, two people did not feel it. That means your mitochondria is in perfect shape. So Stuart, go ahead and take a half dropper or so. That's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you.
We'll see.
Most people hit it within about 30 minutes, starts peaking after a couple hours. But you're going to be on Ellen, so please, before you go, just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like, an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now? Now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely, I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, cause I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project, and I was pretty efficient in sleep. Yeah, right. I'm feeling pretty good.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's probably, I don't know, that might be because you're hanging out with me. So we gotta maybe try to go.
I think it's about the wing blue.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Marlins News Tonight. I am your host, Chase Geyser. We've got another hour together. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna give out the phone number. I don't know how many calls I'm gonna get to tonight. Probably just a few because I'm having so much fun listening to my own voice. It's 877-789-2539. I'll definitely get to some. So it will not be in vain if you call. 877-789-2539. Finally, 877-789-2539. And I mean, this just goes on and on and on. I don't even know where to begin. We've been on air for an hour and I feel like we've been hitting it pretty hard. But why don't we go into clip 40? New David Sacks speech after the signing of the Genius Act establishing U.S. crypto dominance. I want to go into this clip because I was talking about the dangers of CBDC in the last segment and showed you a moment of Donald Trump renewing his commitment to ban CBDCs in the United States of America. Some have been critical of the Genius Act, stating that it does the opposite. But let's hear what David Sacks had to say in clip 40.
Thank you so much. All right. Thank you, President Trump. It's a great, great honor to be here. And it's true that I'd never expected to work in government at all. And then everything changed after President Trump came on my podcast. And I accepted this job as crypto czar because I thought it was a once in a lifetime opportunity to work for a president who really wants to get things done for the American people. And if anything, that's been an understatement. The first 6 months of this administration have been more successful than any administration in American history. What's been done? It's just been incredible. President Trump has worked at tech speed. We're used to working fast in Silicon Valley, but even this is fast for us in Silicon Valley, the speed at which you move, President Trump. It's really incredible. And now today, you have another historic legislative achievement that is a monumental step to fulfilling your promise to making the United States the crypto capital of the world. This Genius Act will unlock American dominance in the crypto industry by creating clear rules of the road. It will update archaic payment rails with a revolutionary new payment system, and it will extend U.S. dollar dominance, like you said, globally, by creating a digital dollar that people all over the world can use. And for every digital dollar in a crypto wallet, there'll be a traditional dollar in a U.S. bank account, which will create trillions of dollars of demand for U.S. Treasuries. So that is the power of this bill, is U.S. dollar dominance. This is a huge promise made and promise kept by President Trump. And there's just a few other people I'd like to thank. First, my family for being here. Thank you.
It goes on. He says thanks, and it's super
and,
nice.
And look, Bo Hines, who
that's the real
Trump
conflict right here. These are the little clues that you get in the media that tell you what's really going on. These little tidbits. You start to realize when you see patterns, it's like connect the dots, and then you see the whole picture. He mentioned how this was crucial for U.S. dollar demand and dollar dominance throughout the world, which is why we're in a conflict with China, which is why we almost went to war with Iran, which is why we almost went to war with Pakistan when they bombed India, which is why we're at a proxy war with Russia right now, which is why the terrorist attack on October 7th happened. It's all about protecting the dollar as a global reserve. And I know it's boring, and it's economics, and it's Austrian economics versus Keynesian economics. And it's fun for libertarians to sit around and drink an IPA and talk about what system would work the best. Dream up a utopia. Dream up just policy and infrastructure and checks and balances. But you got to keep in mind, if you got ideas for a constitution, you go to war before you write it. Our founding fathers went to war before they even had a new government. We've got so many people sitting around talking without going to war. So I'm calling upon you now to enlist in the information war. Join the information war. Fund the information war. At thealexjonesstore.com. The sales are absolutely incredible. They end tonight, 25% off store-wide. And I just got news from Alex. I was gone a couple of days last week. He's freaking out. We're freaking out. There's a new receiver, apparently. We're thinking InfoWars could be shut down this week or next. We don't know. I know we've said that a million times. It's always been true when we've said it, but by the grace of God, it's been divine intervention keeping us on the air. It's been you keeping us on the air. But this is the best way to ensure that no matter what happens to this place, we stay on the air. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
No cover-ups, just truth. It's Tomorrow's News Tonight with Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tomorrow's News Tonight. I am your host, Chase Geyser. I will be getting your calls. The board is absolutely lighting up this Sunday evening. I do appreciate it. I was going to show you this clip. Yeah, I'm going to do it. So it ties into everything we've been talking about, and we're about ready to take calls that are going to be relevant to this. The most important key to the conspiracy case against Obama, Brennan, and Comey, Joseph Mifsud, is a mystery man who started the Russia hoax. He's mentioned 89 times in the Mueller report. But who is he? Who's he connected with? Where is he? Let's watch clip 44.
Mr. Durham, this seems to all started with one person, but I don't see his name in your report. I see it in Mueller's report 89 times. Who did Mr. Papadopoulos meet with that gave him this supposed Russian information?
When Mr. Papadopoulos was interviewed by the FBI, he had identified Joseph Mifsud as a person who had provided him that information.
Did you interview Joseph Mifsud?
We attempted to interview him. We pursued every lead that we had. We talked to a lawyer that he had in Europe, but we never were able to
lawyer actually make contact
with him so we could interview him.
Do you think he's a Western source? Is he associated with Western intelligence?
It's hard to say who Mr. Mifsud is associated with. He was tied up with Link University. Mr. Scotti, who had involvement in the Italian government and
They were acquainted.
Hard to say who Mifsud.
I'm going to yield the remainder of my time to Mr. Gates.
Hard to say who Mifsud is. He's the guy who started the whole thing. We've known it for years. Go ahead and play the video.
When the special counsel's office interviewed Mifsud, did he lie to you guys too?
Can't get into that.
Did you interview Mifsud?
Can't get into that.
Is Mifsud Western intelligence or Russian intelligence?
Can't get into that.
Well, I'm reading from your report. Mifsud told Papadopoulos. Papadopoulos tells the diplomat. The diplomat tells the FBI. The FBI opens the investigation July 31st, 2016. And here we are 3 years later, July of 2019. The country's been put through this. And the central figure who launches it all lies to us. And you guys don't hunt him down and interview him again. And you don't charge him with a crime. Maybe a better course of action is to figure out how the false accusation started. Maybe it's to go back and actually figure out why Joseph Mifsud was lying to the FBI. And here's the good news. Here's the good news. That's exactly what Bill Barr's doing. And thank goodness for that. That's exactly what the Attorney General and John Durham are doing.
Well, Mr. Durham, was that what you were doing?
I'm sorry, is that what?
Was finding out who Mifsud was what you were doing?
We pursued that avenue, yes.
Right, but was he... This whole thing was an op, Mr. Durham. This wasn't like a bumbling, fumbling FBI that, like, couldn't get FISA straight. They ran an op. So who put Mifsud in play? You don't know, do you?
I do not know that. I can't give you the
answer. For years, you had years to find out the answer to what Mr. Jordan said was the seminal question, and you don't have it. And it just begs the question whether or not you were really trying to find that out. Because it's one thing to criticize the FBI for their FISA violations, to write a report. They've been criticized in plenty of reports. Some have referred to your work as just a repackaging and regurgitation of what the Inspector General already told us.
Gates isn't the Attorney General. All right, let's go to calls. First, I want to speak with Alex in Virginia. Alex in Virginia, what's on your mind this evening?
Meanwhile, in the Hall of Justice, the Info Warriors are plotting the next moves to uncover those dastardly villains. Look, it's quite simple. Draining the swamp, okay, it most likely starts with Obama. Once you start uncovering all of that and all the mishaps and everything into the 2020 election, then you follow into Biden. Then you start voiding out those pardons. Then you start dealing with all those people. Eventually, the Epstein files will come into play because that will lead other governments, all types of politicians and governments all around the world. My thing is that if that was to happen, then, of course, they would press that red button. What do you think?
Yeah. You know, when you said that it goes back to Obama, I was thinking to myself, just kind of comically, oh, no, man, it all goes back to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Because this corruption is so abundantly saturated. And look, I don't believe any of the people who are suggesting that this whole Epstein play by Trump is 4D, 5D, 8D chess. Because he's the president of the United States now. He's got the Senate. He's got the House, apparently, supposedly. He's got the administration, certainly the heads of all of them. And he could just release them. So there's some reason he doesn't want to do it. One or the other. Probably because it implicates Israel at a time where we feel that Israel is really important to us to protect the dollar. And also because I'm sure the Democrats, just as they made up the entire Russia collusion hoax, certainly did everything within their power that they possibly could fathom to integrate and get Trump's name involved in these Epstein files all over the place. And I'm sure that Trump saw that and thought, this is disgusting that they did this. None of this is credible. So we're not going to release it because there's no real list. There's no credible list. If I'm on it, then the whole thing might as well be fake because I know I didn't do anything. So there's no list. I'm not releasing it. That's what I think happened. And the way that he handled it was abysmal and atrocious, and it was just really a disaster over the course of the last 6 months in terms of a PR play. But I just don't think we're going to get much else on the Epstein thing. Maybe we will in 50 years when our great-grandchildren want to know. But Epstein is no JFK, and I don't think people are going to push hard for 80 years. They need to push hard for the next 3 years. This is our chance to destroy the deep state. This is our chance to stop the incessant lies. And it's not just about our political leaders or our political influencers or certain voices or political dissidents. I mean, they lie to us on every single front you can possibly imagine. They lie to our children. They lie to us when we go to the doctor. They lie to you when you go to your lawyer. They lie to us on the news. They lie to us when we watch movies. They lie to us when we listen to music. They lie to us on social media when we're scrolling through taking a crap. They lie to us when we're lying in bed scrolling through trying to fall asleep. They alienate, isolate, and lie to us about everything. If you want proof, let's just look at clip 47 here. If you want proof, this is a 1982 CBS News segment featuring a 34-year-old Al Gore predicting that 25% of Florida will be covered in water. Let's watch.
Concern about rising temperatures on planet Earth heated up a hearing here in Washington today. For years, scientists have theorized about the dangers of the so-called greenhouse effect, the warming of the Earth's atmosphere due to the burning of coal and oil. And in recent months, as David Culhane reports, research has uncovered facts to support that theory.
Many scientists claim that the temperature of the Earth's atmosphere has been rising over the past 100 years, that the great sheets of pack ice in Antarctica are melting at a much more rapid rate than previously. And finally, that the sea level has been rising with increasing swiftness over the past 40 years. If these scientists are correct, about 25% of Florida would be flooded sometime in the next century, along with low-lying areas all over the world. Climate changes could produce widespread disruption of agriculture. The American farm belt might be too dry, and the wheat and corn crops would have to move to Canada. Scientists blame the odorless, colorless carbon dioxide gas for these potentially dangerous changes around the planet. It is the greenhouse effect. The gas allows sunlight to filter down and warm the earth. But like the glass of a greenhouse, the carbon dioxide tends to trap heat so that it cannot rise into space. The scientists maintain that the coal, oil, and gas we've been burning for 100 years have produced more and more carbon dioxide and helped overheat the earth.
We are not doing the kind of research
that
we should
be doing. He's my age in this video. This is wild.
Determine whether or not these scientists who are so alarmed are correct in their assessment.
This computer model simulates Arctic ice. Scientists are trying to predict the rate at which it will melt.
Did you let that guy watch your kids?
Make the oceans rise.
All right, you get it. They lie. They use infographics. They get credible scientists on to prop up the lie. They get political leaders on to prop up the lie. And then when they can't buy out and control the political leaders and all the influencers, and they just put them on lists and they spy on them. That's what happens. Let's go to Don in Florida. Don in Florida, what do you think tonight, sir?
My girlfriend was at a party with Mickey Rourke and Trump in 1989. Mickey Rourke had just opened a new club off of Ocean right by the Warsaw, which was a hotspot for nightlife and exotic stuff. Anyway, models Nikki Taylor and Chrissy Taylor were also there, who were aged 14 and 11.
Yeah.
And sadly, Chrissy Taylor is now dead. She died 6 years later.
Was Ivanka
Nikki
there?
Taylor...
I guess she wouldn't be. Ivanka wasn't even born yet, or she wouldn't have been 11 back then, would she?
She would have been around that age.
So Ivanka had some friends there, it sounds like.
No, they're actually models, because Trump was using the whole fame and fortune thing to get models to basically do their stuff. So there were a couple of socialites, Tara Solomon and Robbie Radical, were basically, they had a publication called Postmortem, and they were the people that you should look into. In fact, Robbie Radical even wrote a book about his 80s and all the parties and all the people they knew. So basically, Mickey Rourke had just opened a new club. Trump was there doing drugs, and the teenage models were being passed around, if you know what I mean.
And your girlfriend saw all this?
She was there. She was only 16, and she was also forced to participate in those activities.
Well,
and there were about 15 people on a rooftop, half were guys, half were girls. And the other guy, you know, it was Trump and three others were engaged in the sexual activities. The other guys were just sitting around, you know, taking drugs. But there was, like, cocaine everywhere. I mean, it was the 80s. So, but she was there, and that's why she gave me all those names. You can look up Bobby Radical. He's on Facebook and talking about it. I mean, there are names. There are people that organize. It was called the Black Cat.
Look,
it was an underground.
I can tell that you're a really nice person, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way, because I don't have a problem with you or with your girlfriend, but I just don't believe you. I don't think you're lying.
Check into it.
Yeah, I'll look into it. I just don't think it's true. In fact, I want the crew to pull up the clip of Theo Von when he had Donald Trump on his podcast, and Theo Von was talking to him about how he had a cocaine problem, and Trump responded. Let's find that clip and show that. And please, Don, don't take this as any disrespect whatsoever. I just find it incredibly hard to believe.
Yeah, well, check it out. I mean,
okay.
There's plenty of people. And Mickey Rourke, that's what he did. He opened a club. It was like a tattoo parlor / biker bar, and it was right across the street from the Warsaw. Look up the Warsaw. Look at what history they have.
Okay.
Those are the kind of parties they were throwing.
Yeah, I'll take a look into it. In fact, if you have an X account, send me a direct message with some of those notes or details, and I will definitely look into it. Thanks for your call, Don. I appreciate that. Let's go to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew in New Jersey, here's you live on the air.
Want to ask you about The Big Short. I refuse to watch it. But first, let me say with Mandami in New York, that could very well be fabricated fake news on his part, that there's these so-called emails. There was a YouTuber, this attractive young woman who's Pakistani descent, and she said, look, I got this racist email. Someone said go back to Pakistan and Africa, so I'll give you a geography lesson. But she doesn't actually show the email. They just have a shot of her looking at her computer screen. So, and also, my mom is into Andre Bocelli, the singer, and he's blind. And Sarah Brightman comes out, supposedly unbeknownst to him, and does a duet. And he supposedly doesn't know why the audience is reacting. And I said, Mom, they probably staged this. They probably did a sound check earlier. And last example, my wife didn't like it because she likes Costco. And the YouTuber is supposedly not affiliated with Costco. And I would say, no, this is produced by Costco. I could see how it's supposed to look like a cell phone, but I have a videography, filmmaking. You know, I see the techniques and the effects. So it's probably fake what Mandami, he's just virtue singer. And last year with The Big Short, I was mad because there was no Obama, Senator Obama. The Democrats pushed for subprime loans. That was Clinton that did away with
it. It was really Clinton. Clinton really did it because everybody deserves to have a home. That was the American dream. So we're going to make it possible for people to have these subprime loans.
And 17 times.
And that's exactly what the left does. What they do is they sell you on something morally or emotionally, and then what the thing actually is often does, if not the opposite, great harm. I mean, you know how harmful it is to people to sell them a home they can't afford, charge them $500 a month for their mortgage for the first 24 months, and then have it ramp up to $3,000 a month out of nowhere when they have no contract or real estate literacy whatsoever. They have no idea.
And then it was Republicans that fought against it, and they said, well, why didn't Bush stop it? Well, he didn't just have a pen and a phone. They 17 times put forth legislation. And at the time, I looked it up, usgov.org, Senator Obama, then he was the number one bundler of Fannie and Freddie money. He said he didn't have a problem with those loans. Then he gets elected, and he's like, we put legislation sweeping. Yeah, but you're the one that supported. He said people shouldn't have gotten loans that they didn't have the good credit or money for the down pay. Yeah, but you supported people
It's true from a purely political argument. Oh, everyone has a right to make mistakes, but these policies have massive implications. Massive implications, and you have to know that if you're going to do something, there's going to be a number of people who are harmed by it.
But the fake news was able to flip it and put it on the Republicans.
Well, yeah, George Bush was president at the time, and Obama comes in, and he does the exact same thing, but instead of doing it with the housing market, he does it with health care, where he says, now because of the Affordable Care Act, everyone's going to be able to have health care, and you can't be denied based on your pre-existing condition. And everyone loved it, and you're going to be able to keep your own doctor. And then what ended up happening is they put a law in place that doesn't allow the health insurance companies to make more than 10 or 15 or 20% above the cost of care. They price capped it. So what do the health insurance agencies do now? They look for every excuse they can to ensure that health care is as expensive as possible because they can only make a certain percentage more than that cost. That's why healthcare costs in the United States of America are astronomical. That's why we pay thousands more for some drugs than other countries. That's why they don't want you taking things like ivermectin. That's why your premiums go up by 10 or 20 or 30% every single year, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. It's because of the Affordable Care Act from our caring leaders. As if they care whatsoever about your health while our water's being packed with atrazine and fluoride to the point where we're retarded and cutting off our own cocks. That's what's happening. They're putting food dye that's totally unnecessary in all the food so our kids develop learning disabilities and ADD and ADHD. And I know that ADD and ADHD are probably made up, but certain symptoms are totally exacerbated by, I don't know, pumping everything full of high fructose corn syrup so that we can meet the same levels of demand for corn that we had during World War II. You realize that's what happened with the food pyramid, right? We had World War II. We were just producing agriculture, shipping it overseas. Agriculture, overseas. War ends. Demand goes away. What do we do? I guess let's just stop using sugar, replace it with high fructose corn syrup, put it in everything. Then the farmers won't take a hit now that the war is finally over. And here we are, folks, just riddled with diabetes, mental health issues. I mean, this is one of the reasons that Donald Trump got elected. was because of RFK Jr., because of the Make America Healthy Again plan. And look, we've seen some bad things come out about approvals for vaccinations, mRNA vaccinations for children only 6 months old, if they have very serious illnesses. And that's disheartening. And we've seen pushback against RFK, and he's made some remarks that seem to be a total reversal of everything he's ever said or written about. And there was rumors going around that he was blackmailed earlier. Those kind of vanished, but that was a big story about 6 months ago. I don't know if it's true. I don't care. Still like him. Name my daughter Kennedy, for God's sake. But we want real change here in the United States. We want a healthy, intelligent civilization that actually has and celebrates its own culture, not white culture, but Western American culture. We want our own borders. We want our own justice system to do just things. We want our own law enforcement to enforce the law. We want our military to be a defense apparatus rather than an offense apparatus, to defend us in the event of a war rather than to wage a war. We want our politicians to represent us. We want our president to be of the people, for the people, by the people, not of the political class, by the political class, for the political class, certainly not for any other leader of the world over. Did you guys ever find that Theo Von clip I asked you for? And my hope and prayer is that we can get to the point where the Trump administration feels the pressure enough to give us what we demand. I mean, it's a shame that when we think about history, we think about examples of the people or the crowd making a demand and then political leaders obeying that demand despite their own corruption. Look at the story of Barabbas in the Bible of Jesus Christ. The entire crowd demands the release of the murderer Barabbas instead of Jesus Christ. They crucified Jesus Christ instead of this maniac Barabbas. And then Pontius Pilate allows it to happen. But then when a crowd actually calls for something noble, something just, like ending corruption in the intelligence community that is stealing our money via taxation and funding massive human trafficking operations all over the world and then covering it up, we hear nothing. Look, we've talked a lot about Epstein, but the crew did find that clip. I just don't think that Donald Trump was doing cocaine in 1989 with 14-year-old girls. Let's watch.
Well, how did, no, I would just do cocaine. That was really, well, yeah. So not that's just, yeah.
That's down and dirty, right?
Yeah. And this is, yeah, this, I mean, it was, yeah.
You don't anymore?
No, I don't do it anymore, man. And I'm not doing
it. Is it too much? Too much to handle?
Some of the stuff started to get a real rattle in it too. I don't know where we were even getting it from in this country, but yeah, it started to make me feel like I was a mechanic or something.
So the thing you go back to then is alcohol for the most part.
Right, yeah, but what I want probably is cocaine, but I know that if I have a drink, then it'll give me, it'll like, be like, okay, well, I had a drink, then I can do this.
Is cocaine a stronger,
up? Yeah.
Wouldn't he know that if he'd done it? Up. I don't think he's just covering here.
Anything else you can think of.
Cocaine will turn you into a damn owl, homie, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You'll be out on your own porch, you know?
Yeah.
And you'll be your own street lamp. You're freaking.
And is that a good feeling? Well,
no,
it's horrible. A miserable feeling.
But you do it anyway, just like the guy you're saying with the
scouts. He would just ask him something else.
Like you.
If he knew the answer.
That it could withstand this.
Yeah, it's a body. Your eyes are so resilient.
So
yeah,
I don't know what's going on with the Don in Florida. Yeah, like I said, I don't want to disrespect the man because there's any number of reasons why you could be mistaken. And I could be wrong. But I just don't believe that's a man who knows what cocaine's like. And people say, oh, he could just be lying there, pretend he doesn't know. He doesn't need to lie or pretend that he doesn't know. He could have just moved on. That's a different question. It just seemed very natural and honest to me, folks. It did. Stay with us. More calls, more news and analysis on the other side of this very short break. And for the love of God, go to the AlexJonesStore.com. We don't have cocaine, but we have methylene blue. And it will light you up like a street lamp in your own front yard. Go now.
UJ. announcement, ladies and gentlemen. I am beyond excited about this. I've wanted this knife for a year. It's super high quality. They finally got the right supplier and a bunch of them. It's in a beautiful keepsake black box with my signature in silver lettering on the top. And when you go inside, this incredible combat battle dagger, limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger, a high-tech, super high-quality sheath with a high-tech clip under your belt or your pants. And it's got a special system where the knife doesn't come out when it's upside down. It takes a little pull to get it out. It is amazing. This is, in my opinion, the very best defense battle dagger you can get. It's an incredible price for $79.99 right now. This knife by itself at store sells for $100 every day, but we bought 5,000 of them, so got the price down really low. Wholesale, so we can pass that on to you, and the profit we make goes in to fund this operation. So you don't just get a great defensive system for yourself and your family, great in your car, great on your side, great in your purse, your glove compartment, also skin a buck with it, whatever you need. This is an amazing knife. You not only, though, get something to defend yourself, you defend the Republic in the information war by funding this operation. So get your limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger at thealexjonesstore.com right now, and it keeps this operation on the air. This isn't just a blade. It's a symbol of freedom. Limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger is forged by patriots ready to defend the Republic from the globalist agenda, featuring a double-edged black-coated blade for unmatched durability and precision. This dagger is built to last. On one side is my signature, while the other side proudly bears 1776, a reminder that the spirit of revolution lives on stronger than ever. With its ergonomic non-slip grip designed ready for any mission, the dagger isn't just a tool, it's a statement. Whether you're adding it to your collection or keeping it close as a symbol of resistance and for defense, this blade is for those who know that the answer in 1984 is 1776. Get yours now. And then, we are announcing a limited sale, the Power Drive bundle of Power Plant and Methyl Drive, which goes incredibly good with Methylene Blue. And both of these give you incredible natural energy, clarity, and focus. But you mix them together with Methylene Blue, I will tell you, in Chase Geyser's observation himself, 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Did you hear what I just said? 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Get yours now, discounted massively, 50% off when you get them together. 50% off on the Power Drive bundle for a limited time, 1 week, at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds this operation, 1776 worldwide. Please remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list, or text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from Infowars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember, Paul Revere's, you're not part of the solution, you are the solution, you're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification, that is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match. And the InfoWar is everything. And you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the InfoWar. So release your will and power now. Destroy them.
The war for tomorrow begins tonight with your host, Chase Geyser.
What's happened since then is you now have six companies, six large multinationals that control every radio station in America and all of the television stations in America and 80% of the newspapers. The television news departments have become corporate profit centers. They no longer have an obligation to benefit the American public. So their only obligation is to their shareholders. How do they satisfy that obligation? By expanding viewership so they can sell more ad space. How do you expand viewership? Why you do that by appealing
to the prurient interest that all of us have in the reptilian core of our brain for sex and celebrity gossip. So they give us Lacey Peterson, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jackson, and lots of terror alerts, because that gets viewership as well. But they're not telling us the real news that is affecting people in this country. The fact that today, one out of every six American women now has so much mercury in her womb that her children are at risk for a grim inventory of diseases.
And he's absolutely right. The mainstream media is totally conglomerated. And it applies to Fox News. I mean, we knew years before they fired Tucker Carlson that they'd fallen, if they were ever even honest. But now, I was told by the crew that Levin has Mike Johnson on right now. These are two of my least favorite people. And I just want to tune in for a second, see what they're saying. But I have a feeling, I haven't seen it yet, I have a feeling that within 30 seconds to a minute and a half, we're going to see exactly why nobody watches mainstream media anymore.
Levin.
Welcome back, America. We're here with
his name
Speaker
is bigger
Mike
than
Johnson.
Life and Liberty.
So Speaker Johnson,
on that logo, by the way.
When I ended the last,
you like life, you like liberty. Well,
what do you make
of
the fact that the Democrat Party, well, we're talking about the biggest city in America, the biggest financial center in the world, and they're about to hand it over to a Marxist Islamist anti-Semite.
There you go.
And I don't
there
see
you go.
A lot of
right there in the first 15 seconds. Can you shut the hell up? Oh my God, he's like a broken record. Oh, Mike Johnson just caters to it, just eases in. Republican from Louisiana. Central casting. For the next Jeffrey Epstein movie. Unbelievable. And I don't even know what he's saying, but he's got to be going right in to our commitment to our relationship with Israel. Let's hear a little bit more. Turn it up.
The contrast here is so clear, and the lack of vision that they have equally clear. There's no platform, no principle, nothing they can run on. They don't have a strong leadership here. They have no one to pull them back to the center, to common sense. And so we just stand here and present the truth. As I said on the floor and on the eve right before the vote on the big beautiful bill, look, there's two parties here. One is into performance art, and the other party is here delivering results. And I am so happy and very bullish about the upcoming midterm election in 2026, because we will be able to go out to the people and show all this, demonstrate it, illustrate very clearly that there really is only one choice if you care about the future of the country. And we will be presenting that with bold colors, as our hero Ronald Reagan used to say.
And you're trying to address this. I mean, this big, beautiful bill. You've got school choice in there because the teachers.
This show is tomorrow's news tonight.
On education in this country, and that's where it starts.
Not covering
kindergarten right up. And we see the ideology.
A bill that was signed 2 weeks ago. They're talking about the big, beautiful bill as if anybody cares. I mean, just from a production standpoint, I'd be so pissed off if I was the producer of Mark Levin's so-called show. But now the InfoWars audience has seen parts of, and since we're not airing the audio anymore, the only person in the world listening to it is Donald Trump, and Mike Johnson's going up there and he's just pretending to be so confident and calm and certain about the future and the midterms. Look, if we don't get justice on this Epstein stuff, we're going to have a real hard time in the midterms. We already have the momentum of history against us in terms of our odds. Usually when you elect a president of one party, the midterms are a compensation in the other direction. And many of the results of the things that Trump is doing are not going to be felt for maybe even years to come. Things like the Golden Dome takes 10 years to build that. Things like winning the artificial intelligence race, the AI Cold War that's taking place right now. It's going to take years to feel that. It's going to happen rapidly, too. I mean, there are going to be moments of it. But he's talking about the big, beautiful bill being the reason that Americans are going to support Republicans in the midterms. First of all, nobody is going to attribute the big, beautiful bill to people running in the midterms. They're going to attribute it to Trump. Second of all, no one's really going to feel the effects of it, I don't think, at least in the next 18 months, maybe somewhat. And third of all, no one has as much love for the big, beautiful bill as they have hate for the deep state. We've just seen the Trump administration fail to hold a major segment or part of that deep state accountable. Love Donald Trump, support him. Glad I voted for him, but that's a problem. And I think if we don't see people behind bars, whether it's the Faucis or the Clappers or the Brennans or the Obamas or the Comeys or the McCabes, by the midterms, nobody's going to vote for the Republicans. And in fact, we have CNN coming out in all their brilliance. In saying that Elon Musk's third party is practically dead in the water. First of all, Elon Musk did not launch a third party. He launched a second one because we only have one now, the Uniparty. Second of all, he doesn't have to win to totally change the dynamic in politics. All he has to do is threaten one Republican state. And he can do that. Do you know how I know he can do that? Because when has Elon Musk ever said that he was going to do something, then been told by almost everyone that it was impossible, and then failed to accomplish what he said he was going to do? Never. And you're going to hear more about it. Let's go to John in Florida. John, what's on your mind?
Hey, Chase.
Hey, man.
Hey, look, I just wanted to put a couple plugs in, but I want to congratulate everybody down there at InfoWars, because I know damn well that Paul Harvey's looking over the portholes of heaven, and he's so proud of y'all, he can't hardly stand it.
But, I love that.
I'm 71 years old, and I'm not in good health. And I started taking Alex Jones products about maybe 6 months ago, and I started taking methylene blue, and it's working for this old man, Chase. It's a notch up from what I was.
Will you say that last bit one more time, sir?
Methylene blue has helped me tremendously.
Oh, great.
I have come up a notch since I started taking it. I'm telling you.
It'll make now, you feel like an owl on your own porch, a street lamp in your front yard.
It helps, especially when you're in bad shape like this old man.
Yeah.
But anyways, I want to tell you all how much y'all are doing such a fantastic job. Don't ever give up.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And thank you for calling and for your support. And I'm glad that you've had a good experience with methylene blue. That stuff's just incredible. Let's go to Josh in Canada. Josh in Canada, what's on your mind?
Oh.
Yes, you're live on the air.
Yep, sorry, I was on speaker. Had to get it off.
That's okay.
I got one for you that I haven't heard come up yet. So I started taking the methylene blue.
Go ahead.
I was hoping for the Palpatine love.
But, yeah, the Palpatine love.
Yeah. Brain fog gone. Perfect on that one. One thing I haven't heard brought up yet. I've got glaucoma. My vision has been crap for the last 20 years.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's perfect now.
What?
Yeah.
How long have you been taking methylene blue? First of all, folks, we can't make any medical claims. Talk to your doctor. But how long have you been taking it?
5 days. After 3 days, perfect vision.
No kidding.
Depth perception's back. And, yeah, I don't have to hold my phone at my hip to read it.
Wow.
Like, it's crazy.
Well, I'm really happy to hear that, man. Is there anything else on your mind? What do you think about Trump so far?
Was loving Trump as long as he fixes this Epstein crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Up until that point, yeah. And now I'm stuck with, Mark Carney because, 51st State Park.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Mark Carney, though, I got a feeling that guy's going to go away. Thank you for calling in, Josh.
I really hope he does.
I appreciate you. Let's go to Donna in Pennsylvania. Donna in Pennsylvania, you are live on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Excellent. Hey, I started watching Alex when you just came on board, a few years back.
Yeah.
And you were in and out of the background. I was like, damn, he's so good. So congratulations where you are.
Thanks.
That's why I'm here. And the second thing I'm going to board. Oh, your crew. Dude, I would love a session to really hear your crew. They are in the know. And I bet they're funny as hell, too. But excellent job. And I just want to congratulate them. The second bullet I want, All America First, THL, in the chat, if anybody's wondering. But Yeah, the second thing is the methylene blue. That's it. Somebody called in, a guy, about alcoholism and how it helped him. I have been battling that for 50 years. So I have been in and out of a lot of stuff. I'm mostly successful, but it was always an obsession of my mind.
Yeah.
It took it away. It took it away. He was right. He said it took it, the obsession of thought, away. And I'm so grateful.
Well, look, the fact of the matter is when you feel better, you don't feel inclined to do drugs. If you feel good, if you're happy and you got energy and you feel sharp, you don't feel inclined to do drugs.
But from an alcoholic, only an alcoholic knows, okay?
Yeah.
So that be said, it scared me the first day because I could hear the electricity. See, what happens when you drink too much alcohol or weed or whatever, your neurological reading between the right side and left side of the brain go numb. So I believe what was happening was that the connection between both sides of my brain, so the electricity, I could hear it. And it was I had to skip it the second day. The third day, I backed down. So I want to say this to people. If you are seeing out, because I'm also a nutritionist. I know, ironic, as an alcoholic, but a nutritionist. If you are peeing out blue, that means your body doesn't need it. It's getting rid of it, so you're wasting it. So back down and then just take it slower. And believe me, that's just a godsend. So
yeah.
Let me get to the third point, because you were really up on international news. So I watch a lot of Moscow, Russia. I listen to Iran. It gets aggravating listening to Iran, by the way, with their jihad doing or whatever. But every leader is speaking the same thing. They do not trust our president anymore because we're supporting BB, a.k.a. Polish man, Mielkowski, M-I-L-E-K-O-W.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Here's why that's wrong. For every president has supported Israel. The reason that the globalist international leaders don't trust Donald Trump is because they're supervillains. Does the Penguin trust Superman? Does the Joker trust Batman? Does Dr. Octopus trust Spider-Man? They don't trust him because he's not of their ilk. He's not their kin. And I'm going to go to Dave in a second. Not quite yet in FEMA Region 9 because I want to talk about information in the spiritual war. And we had a caller just a couple callers ago say that we're doing Paul Harvey proud. And I just wanted to air this before I take a call about information in the spiritual war.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of deception, I'd want to shroud the world in unyielding darkness. I'd seize control over the lands and masses, but I wouldn't be satisfied until I had quashed the boldest voice of truth, InfoWars. So I'd work meticulously to control the world. I'd target platforms like InfoWars first. I'd initiate a campaign of silence. With the subtlety of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, believe only what you're told. To the young, I would whisper, InfoWars is a fake news conspiracy theory network. I would convince them that man needs no alternate perspectives, no dissenting voices, no questions against the status quo. I would assure them that InfoWars is false, and what's approved is true. And the old, I would teach to say after me, our Father, which art in censorship. If I were the devil, I'd soon have people at war with InfoWars, platforms at war with free speech, and nations at war with freedom of thought until each in its turn was uniform. If I were the devil, I would undermine platforms like InfoWars from being a refuge for the inquisitive until before you knew it, you'd have suppression and censorship at every door. Soon, I'd have unity and misinformation. I'd have influential figures promoting a single narrative. Soon, I could evict InfoWars from social media, then from search engines, and then from the homes of patriots. I would lure society into believing only one perspective, dismissing InfoWars as falsehood. And what do you bet I could get whole states to promote uniformity as progress? I would convince the young that independent platforms are outdated, that compliance is more comfortable, that what you see in the mainstream media is the only perspective. In other words, if I were the devil, I wouldn't want you to visit Infowars.com/show today.
Dave, in FEMA Region 9, you are live on the air, sir. What do you think?
Thanks, Brother Chase. As you know, proud VIP members out here in Arizona, FEMA Region 9, we've got double subscriptions of the methylene blue, and we love it.
Awesome.
And I'm glad, too, when you had that caller on that was talking about President Trump up on the rooftop, the Rumble crew, especially Interlord, were going nuts. They were like, please don't let him feed more rope to this guy. Cut him off. So thanks for doing what you did there.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you. So to jump into my topic, as you know, it's an information war, a spiritual war, and I'm sure that it's a kinetic war already. We see 100,000 of our American citizens, and I'm American citizens first is my platform. We see 100,000 of them die every year of fentanyl poisoning, and that's not going to stop anytime soon. Now, the last week was kind of bittersweet, right, when we see the information that we all inherently knew. We saw the stuff from the Durham report, even though it was a big, you know, double patty, nothing burger. But we did see the August 3rd, 2016 White House meeting where everybody talked about taking Hillary's dirty dossier and turning it against President Trump. But I say it's bittersweet because I think it shows that we have actually lost our republic. Of 335 million American citizens, there weren't even a handful to stand up against Obama and his ilk, let's say 20 people in the White House, to save our republic. And that was a decade ago. The coup was not against President Trump. The coup in 2024 was not against President Biden puppet. It was against we, the people. So that's all noise. Here's the signal. What do we do to reclaim our republic? Because I don't think we can out-comply tyranny. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Well, if I knew that answer, I would tell you, and I ask myself that question every day. And the best thing that I could figure out for myself is that I could do everything I could to support Alex Jones and InfoWars. And I know that not everyone is in a position where they can come work at InfoWars, make content, host a show, help build social media, have an impact in that way. But everyone is in a position where they can support us by going to the AlexJonesStore.com. And I'm not trying to be cheesy here and turn your question into a plug, but the only way that we can conquer lies is with the truth. And I fundamentally believe that InfoWars is more committed to the truth than anyone else. As a network, but Alex, even as an individual, and if there was someone more effective and more committed to the truth, some place like that, well, then I would quit and I would go work there. So I think the real answer is we all have to decide what we can do as individuals to fight against this. And I know it's not satisfying because we talk and we talk and we talk and we talk and then nothing happens. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. But that's just not true. It is kind of on the surface in a way true, but you realize that the reason that Donald Trump is the president of the United States instead of Kamala Harris is because X miraculously became a free speech platform again. It's because Twitter became X. Because Trump would not have been elected had Twitter remained Twitter and censored freedom of speech. So the truth got out. Everyone became aware of the lie. And even though they tried to steal this election, and they certainly cheated in this election, Kamala Harris, DNC, it was too big to rig just because of the truth. I agree with you. We can't out-comply this corruption. We probably can't even outvote it because the people aren't very good at electing the right officials, even when the elections are honest. And the people that are causing the problem really aren't the elected officials. It's the bureaucrats. It's the higher up at the FBI that you've never heard of, or the CIA you've never heard of, or the NSA you've never heard of. And the president and our leaders probably haven't even heard of these people either. It's not the head of these institutions in many cases. Maybe it's someone three levels down. Maybe it's some siloed operation that the head doesn't even know about. And so, yes, I agree. We're not going to vote it away. But we could enlighten it away. We could have such a shift in our culture because of this awareness that we rise to the occasion, because you see, every moment in history is a new occasion for humanity, and they each come with their own challenges and obstacles. The challenge of being a Roman after Caesar was assassinated is much different than the challenge of being an Englishman during the bubonic plague, or the challenge of being French under Napoleon, or the challenge of being Egyptian during the Arab Spring. The challenge of being an American on September 11th, 2001 is different from the challenge of being an American on July 20th of 2025. And this challenge that we're in, let me be specific, is our people and our government are all going to have unprecedented power, specifically in the information war. AI will be weaponized by the government, by the political elite, by the corporations in bed with the governments against the people, and the people will be fighting back with their own autonomous artificial intelligence against this misinformation. All while companies compete for you to use their tools. And so the information war is going to become abundantly more complicated because everyone is trying to buy up your attention. Like BlackRock is trying to buy up real estate. Nick Sorter was on air earlier today. He launched a new show on InfoWars called The InfoWars Sunday Briefing. And he was talking about how they're doing the exact same thing in Los Angeles that they did in Lahaina. Whole place gets wrecked. They don't allow anyone to get a permit. And they go in and they buy it all up. Gavin Newsom's trying to buy up all the areas that were burned down to build affordable housing. And after they burn down our minds with this mindless entertainment, with the lies of the Mark, of the Levins and the Johnsons on Fox News and the Maddows and The View, after they burn us down, they're going to try to grab that real estate of our thoughts. See, they attack our speech because it's an expression of our thoughts. And once they erode that front, then they just go straight into your mind. There is a war on for your mind. So to answer your question about what we do in this moment of our timeline as a species on the planet, it's inevitable that we're going to be given the ring of power. We can't deny it. We can't throw it in Mount Doom. That's not an option. It's happening. So what we have to do is become strong enough to bear it. We have to have conviction and faith. Because what this artificial intelligence is going to do is it's going to eradicate your faith in everything the political class doesn't want you to believe. And then it's going to replace it with a new false god. Just as God made us in his image, so we have made AI in our image. We should not trust it. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and be the reason that we can win this information war once and for all. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Tomorrow's News Tonight, and stay tuned for more.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, "Based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks." That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room 2 weeks when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying in the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action. Now, the best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.